Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I don't understand why it's such a hard concept to choose dangerous freedom. You know, I know, just like the gentleman who came up here before me, safety, 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 right? Well, it's not y'all's job to provide us safety. It's just not. I know y'all have taken it, and the people have begged for it, but it's still, it's not y'all's job. My safety is my own business. My children's safety is my own business. My wife's safety is my own business. It's our business. We're a family. We take care of ourselves and whoever else we can in our community and our neighborhoods. But everybody's used to outsourcing it.
Larry Downs, I like Larry. He's a friend. He's crazy in good ways and bad ways. But he's kind of gotten on this theme lately, that both at the city council and at the county commission, that somehow or other, like, public safety isn't even the responsibility of government. And I just, what? I mean, that's just such a weird position to take. Like, one of the very few basic things that all non-anarchists agree government should be doing is protecting people and their property rights and their life and liberty rights from infringement by other people. Now, I know what he's thinking about is, you know, like, the saving you from the, you know, the tides and the lifeguards. And, you know, he actually was talking about, you know, how you should be able to get out there and save yourself from the you know, the riptides. And, like, this is a comment that he was making when at the county commission meeting. I'm like, but you know that when people were dying out there, that we fixed that for a reason. Like, this was one of the most horrible, well-known problems in Escambia County, is that we actually solved that problem and made it so that people were happy to come visit here. I can't remember. Did I play the clips for me with the county commission? Does that seem familiar to you, John? Do you remember this here?
Do y'all remember when we didn't outsource our safety to government? I mean, I do. I'm old enough to remember. I remember going on Pensacola Beach whenever there was no lifeguards. None. I mean, that was a long time ago. And maybe they might have had one. Maybe. Did they, Barry? You don't remember? They might have. But anyways, I grew up, you know, and going to Perdido Key Beach also, Johnson's Beach and the state and all that. And we didn't outsource our responsibilities. I mean, red flag, you know, yellow flag, green flag. This is the way we condition the minds of the people to become dependent on government.
Or, you know, or we have police because we want to protect us from dangerous other people. Or in the case of lifeguards, we had a whole rash of deaths. And as a result of those deaths, we decided to do things like we changed our ordinance so that lifeguards have law enforcement authority. We saved, you know, there haven't been anywhere near that same level of drowning since. There was one year, I forget the number, it was a really high number, over the course of like 2 or 3 years, and we became known as one of the most dangerous beaches in the nation. And so, I don't, Larry is sometimes a libertarian, he's sometimes an anarchist, and, you know, sometimes he's a conservative. He kind of fluctuates between these three, but the notion that somehow, like, just basic core safety is not actually a duty of government is kind of a funny one. I mean, maybe you don't know this if it's been a long time since you took your poli-sci or philosophy courses, but the idea of government in this country was largely born out of people like John Locke, an English philosopher. And, you know, you had some influence by, you know, Thomas Hobbes, another philosopher. But in Rousseau is another one that kind of influenced this concept of a state of nature producing a social contract. A social contract is the idea that if we were all living without government, you know, we're all living in Larry's paradise where, you know, we all had our own guns and we all did our own thing and we didn't have any laws, we would eventually recognize that, well, that life is pretty rough. You know, or as Thomas Hobbes said, nasty, brutish, and short. because it's all man versus man. It's the jungle. When there are no rules, people behave like beasts. And so why do we make rules? Well, we give up a little freedom and we agree. I'll tell you what, John, I agree not to murder you. And in exchange, Yay. You agree not to murder me.
And wait, I didn't agree.
We'll all agree not to murder anybody else. And we'll also agree to make a police force to punish the people who do murder people. And we'll agree to not steal. I'll agree not to steal from you if you agree not to steal from me. And we'll agree not to steal from anybody. And then we'll hire police to, you know. And that's how laws happen. Because in the state of nature, you would rationally vote to create a government that deprives you of some of your freedom. The freedom to steal. The freedom to murder. Okay? And in exchange, you give them police power, your promise not to do certain things, and you pay a little bit of taxes to fund that. And that's basically the idea of government. It's a social contract that we all agree to make collectively our lives better. And there's all kinds of versions of this, but you know, Larry's like, well, I just want the state of nature. Well, I mean, find an island in the Pacific. You know, that's the alternative. If you want to live that way, wonderful. You know, go move to the backwoods of Idaho and get off the grid and live that way. But if you want to live in society and, you know, run ads for your plumbing company and demand that you have a right to speak at the county commissioner's meeting, which you don't under the law, that's a whole separate. I should get into this a little bit. I like Larry. I have a lot of things to say about Larry. I'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Pensacola Little Theater. Coming to the PLT, The Cottage, a fast-paced laugh-out-loud farce full of twist. June 12th through the 21st. Tickets available at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the box office. Still dealing with the accident that happened on 98 and Green Drive. Traffic is still backed up almost to the Navarre Beach Bridge. So just be worried about that. 20-25 minute delay just in that area alone. And let's see here. I-10, I-110, 2990, all look good. John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. All right. One last thing, because I do like Larry, but, you know, he talks a lot at these meetings and wastes a lot of my time. so I'm responding a little bit. One of the things that he's been on about lately is how he doesn't have enough time to speak at these city council or county commission meetings where he gets time limited or he can't donate time. He's always talking about the school board and they can donate time. And this is a complaint you hear from people like Jerry Cooey in Santa Rosa County as well. We want more time. Man, y'all already talk an awful lot, okay? So here was his comments.
Now listen, I hope y'all don't violate my rights tonight. You know, deprivation of rights is a serious thing. And we have a First Amendment right. Ms. Hayes, she expressed hers for her property. We have it here to redress our government. So if you would, just please don't interrupt me. You can roll your eyes. You can make gasping noises. You can do all that kind of stuff. But just don't try to stop me from exercising my rights because I have, you know, it's a very valuable right we have.
Yeah, but it's not this. Okay, I don't want to give any politicians ideas. I don't think it's likely that they would take me up on this. But you know the public forum comment in the city council, the county commission meetings, which is our very favorite because it's the most entertaining, you know. All the mixed nuts come out. And sometimes very good stuff comes out, too. I mean, it's you know, the people. You do not have a right to the public forum. I say it again. You don't have a right to the public forum. In any interpretation of any law, state or federal, or the Constitution, you do not have a right to the public forum. The public forum is a customary practice. The idea that you would give anybody the mic, like open mic night at the county commission meeting, for 3 minutes or 2 minutes or any amount of time to talk about anything they want to talk about, regardless of whether it's on the agenda, that is a common practice, but it is not a right. It is not a law. The law in Florida says that if the deliberative body is making a decision, they have to, at some point prior to that decision, give you an unspecified, reasonable amount of time for public input. If you go to Tallahassee and they're hearing a bill and there's 60 speakers in the room, you're going to get 30 seconds. And that's it. And that's when they're voting on something. They don't do open forum in Tallahassee. You don't go to, like, the higher education committee and spout off about Trump and COVID. It doesn't. They tell you, stay on target. We're not here for that. There's no law that requires you to have an open, any conversation, public forum time. It's a kindness. It's a practice. It's a grace. It's a custom. It's not a law. The Constitution certainly doesn't require it. The Constitution says, you know, Congress should make no law respecting establishment of religion. You have the ability to petition your government for redress or grievances. That doesn't grant you open forum time. You can't go to Congress and get 3 minutes on the mic and speak to Speaker Johnson on the floor of the House or the Senate. It doesn't work that way. The right to petition just means you're allowed to ask. Usually in writing, a petition is writing. So this notion that you're entitled by the Constitution or the state of Florida or any level of legal authority to public forum time of any duration and then for other people to donate to you. And I mean, it's just all nonsense. It's all invented. I consider Larry a friend. He's going to hate me for saying it. You entitled little citizen. You think you're entitled to it. And so you demand it like a right. It's not a right. But you've gotten used to it, and you like it, and you like talking. You know, that's all there is to it. If they took it away, they'd probably get voted out of office. And that's fine. I like the practice. I think it's a good practice. But it is not a right in any view of rights. He's going to hate me for saying it that way. 720 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Even though so many corporations are celebrating Gay Pride Month, my Christian faith just won't let me. After all, there are 7 places in Scripture where homosexuality is addressed and condemned. And my heart genuinely breaks for individuals who are caught up in that lifestyle. I want to see them washed, sanctified, and justified, as is described in 1 Corinthians 6. I want to see them saved. No one loves the LGBTQ people more than Jesus does. No one is able to help them like he can. But for the Christian to celebrate Gay Pride Month is not love. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, explains that love rejoiceth not in iniquity. It's saying Christians can't celebrate sin. Love doesn't do that. To celebrate any type of sin, instead of warn against it, is to personally escort individuals straight to hell. So Christian person, let us be loving enough to warn others about sin and invite them to the Savior.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaid's Max Strength. Its dual-active formula has 1,500 milligrams of calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaid spells powerful relief. 1,500 milligrams is our highest amount of antacid per tablet. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
What is this thing?
It's an asteroid, sir.
How big are we talking?
Sir, our best estimate is 97.6 billion.
It's the size of Texas, Mr. President.
Good morning, 724 here on News Radio 92.3. Again, I'm getting all kinds of texts about mixed nuts. Somebody says, my daughter was literally saying it's like trail mix. That's exactly right. Hey, if you need that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality. And by the way, sometimes I'm the nut. I mean, that's fine. Right? I mean,
I'm glad you
finally
admitted.
I get paid to be the weirdo, right? Or to be the sober analysis, you know, whatever. The philosopher, logician, whatever.
News.
News with Andrew McKay. He's 50 over 50. He's important. He scared Kerry Smith out of the shower one morning. You know, whatever the thing is we're saying about me these days. I don't know. All kinds of stuff. If you need that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, a great selection, good quality cars, about 300 on the lot. Go try a lot of different things. Seriously, you can try like 6 or 7 different sedans, you know, 8 or 10 different trucks or sports cars or whatever you're in the mood for. And I would say, maybe you get tired of hearing me say it, but go try something outside of your comfort zone. Like, you always wonder, why do people like Jeeps? I don't know. Drive a Jeep. You know, the price to test drive a Jeep is no price. It's free. Go try it. And you know what? You might decide, oh, you know, that's why I don't like Jeeps. Or you might be like, now I'm going to go buy me some Jeeps and some Ducks and some, you know, I'm going to get into the culture. I don't know. But find what you like. And then if they have it, buy it. It'll be good quality stuff, good prices. That's all they do. Or maybe you have to send them to go looking for you for a car. Like, I love that car, but I want it in red. Okay. They go looking for people for cars all the time. They're always buying cars. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Let's see. 725, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Sorry, still dealing with the accident that happened just east of Windhaven Beach on 98. Traffic is still backed up all the way to the Navarre Beach Bridge, and that's about a 20-25 minute delay. It's moving, but it's very, very slow right now, so be prepared for that. Let's see here. Got an accident that just popped up on 9 Mile Road and Beulah Road. I'm seeing no road blockage associated with that one. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the U.S. struck Iranian military sites over the weekend in response to Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard announcing that they had struck an American military base in the Gulf region. Despite that exchange of fire, President Trump posting on Truth Social that everybody needs to sit back and relax. Former Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says the central bank is risking losing credibility. He was speaking Sunday while accepting the John F. Kennedy Profiles in Courage Award. Powell said keeping monetary policy separate from political pressure was a wise move, and he says that if any administration manages to remove Fed officials over policy differences, future administrations will follow suit. Authorities say human remains found last week in a New Mexico National Forest have now been identified as Los Alamos National Laboratory employee 53-year-old Melissa Casillas. She disappeared about a year ago, and police say a handgun was found near the remains. The cause and manner of death are still under investigation.
All right. Thanks so much, David. Oh, by the way, we had the that Bossier Road, West Bossier Road over by US 29, that big flooding yesterday. Rain in the area. It was wild. If you live south of I-10, like I do, you were getting a half inch to an inch of rain. If you live north of I-10, according to Alan Strum, you're getting between 3 and 5 inches of rain yesterday. McDavid looked like it got about 5 yesterday. So crazy.
It rained flooding. A lot in Milton.
Yeah, crazy flooding in the sort of north of I-10 vicinity. So amazing. Anyway, and one of the roads, West Bossier Road, was, you know, completely blown out yesterday, and flooding across US 29 is, you know, what I had read. A quick note. I think I mentioned, but I want to make sure to emphasize the point. By law in Florida, not only are you not entitled to a public forum by law, but you are not even entitled to speak at the meeting where they make the decision. They just have to have at some point had public input on that matter prior to the time when they take the vote. Like, think about the legislature. During their final sessions, when they vote on actual items, there's no public forum. There's no commentary then. They take it during the committee meeting. Anyway, just so you kind of know what the actual law requires. One very brave soul got up at the Pensacola City Council meeting on Thursday and explained why data centers are good and why you're probably being subject to Chinese misinformation about data centers. I thought it was an interesting comment. I'm going to give him airspace. Gabriel Garrett.
Hey, I was just going to speak in support of the data centers. They're not all bad. There are foreign influence campaigns that try to discourage Americans from liking them, from telling them all these horrible things that are going to happen. But there actually are a lot of benefits to them. And you hear like a lot of fear-mongering, but in terms of water usage, leaking toilets, leaking pipes use 50 times more water than all data centers in the U.S. That's not something you hear a lot about. And in terms of energy, like, I understand there's a lot of concerns about that.
I'm going to say this. I don't know whether all of his facts are right or not. I just want to give kudos to somebody who's willing to stand up in the middle of everybody is against them kind of and say the contrary view. Like, I've tried to raise questions about some of this stuff. It's weird how everybody's so eager to hate them. I posted a thing yesterday, a day before, just said, Dear ChatGPT, write me a persuasive, compelling 3-minute speech on why data centers are bad.
Did it do it?
No, I didn't do it. I'm saying as a joke, like,
why didn't you do
the
it?
People who are complaining about the data centers and using their phones and following Google Maps and doing research and using AI, you know, like, what, are you willing to give up the practice? Anyway, back to Gabriel Garrett.
I guess AI is going to be the future, and it is the driving force behind the American economy right now. So I would try not to discourage that. That's going to help Escambia County have a future in the American economy. So I would just encourage people to really look into the sources and look beyond the fear-mongering around it.
Yeah, I mean, which is a fair reminder. You know, really do some research, look into it, be open-minded. Don't go up at the podium and give your 3-minute screed on why flock cameras are surveilling you while you have your phone out with its location tracking on. You know, be a little more consistent.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa, trying to figure out who's in charge of Iran.
The regime is fairly discombobulated, as you know. That's why it's taken so long to negotiate anything.
Tennessee Senator Bill Hagerty speaking to Fox. The U.S. and Iran trading strikes over the weekend, and President Trump says, don't rush me.
The president issuing a message of reassurance this morning on Truth Social, especially for those who are pushing him to get this deal done faster. He said, quote, sit back and relax. It'll all work out in the end. Iran really wants to make a deal, and it will be a good one for the USA and those that are with us.
Fox's Alexandra Hoff. It's the final full day of campaigning for tomorrow's California primary for governor. The top two vote getters advance to the November general election in Los Angeles, called a nonpartisan election. If one of the three top candidates gets more than 50% of the vote, they win the race outright. If not, there's a November runoff. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 80 degrees, and we'll get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson up in just a few minutes. Well, hurricane season officially begins today. FPL's Vice President J.T. Young says significant grid investments in the last several years mean faster power restoration times for customers here. He says preparation at home, though, is still essential.
Those devices operate oftentimes to help restore service without us having to ever send a crew out, depending on the situation. So it can sense an issue on a line and reroute power automatically. And that gives customers, of course, better reliability. We've improved reliability here in Northwest Florida by over 60% in the last 6 to 7 years.
And Young says FPL's installed more than 9,000 smart devices on its lines, placed 90 miles of lines underground, and replaced more than 250 miles of main line with poles with steel and concrete. He says customers, though, still need to stock up on supplies, know their evacuation zone, and review generator safety before any type of storm threatens the area. FPL does have storm tips at fpl.com/storm or on their FPL application. A 29-year-old woman's been charged with DUI manslaughter for a deadly crash on Highway 29 last October. Kelsey Eel turned herself in on Friday on a warrant from the Florida Highway Patrol. Investigators say Eel crossed the median and hit an SUV head-on near Woodbury Circle, killing her 30-year-old passenger and then seriously injuring two people in another vehicle. Eel is being held in the Escambia County Jail without bond. Well, torrential rain washed away part of West Bogia Road near Highway 29 on Sunday. About 6 inches of rain reported in the McDavid area. That flooded Highway 29 for miles, forced southbound traffic onto alternate routes. According to North Escambia, the collapse also cut water service from some Central Water Works customers, and officials say that's largely been restored. No injuries reported, and the road could see closures for several weeks as repairs are made. Florida lawmakers are meeting in Tallahassee today for a special session on property tax elimination. Governor DeSantis pushing to raise the homestead exemption to $250,000 and also phase out homestead property taxes entirely. From there, whatever lawmakers approve would still need to go on the ballot in November and would need 60% voter approval. A former Florida Supreme Court justice is being remembered for his character and his passion for justice. R. Fred Lewis served on the Florida Supreme Court from 1998 until 2019, served as Chief Justice from 2006 to 2008. He died Tuesday at 78 years old from injuries suffered in a fall. Lewis will lie in state at the Supreme Court Rotunda on June 11th. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that every Florida West project is evaluated on jobs created, wages paid, and generates a positive return on investment to Escambia County taxpayers? Still dealing with the issue that happened on 98 in Green Drive over in Mary Esther. They've got that cleaned up, but traffic is moving very, very slowly. And again, it's backed up all the way to the Navarre Beach Bridge, so just be aware of that. That's about a 30-minute delay, but at least it's moving. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 7-minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a nice warm day today. Temperatures warming up near 89 degrees. 80% chance of some showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Tuesday, 60% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 71. Heading into Wednesday, nice sunny weather with a high near 83 degrees. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it's already getting pretty warm out there. We've got 80 degrees and sunshine this morning. Your next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. EasyJet shares have risen more than 11% this morning after the budget carrier said it has not received a takeover offer from U.S. investment firm Castlelake, but would consider any proposal should one be made. The group has seen its stock price slump more than 40% over the last 5 years. Japan's SoftBank is planning to invest $53 billion over 5 years to build AI infrastructure in France in the first phase of its push. The commitment is part of an $87 billion program by SoftBank to build AI data centers in France. It marks the Japanese tech giant's largest AI infrastructure investment in Europe. Dell has unveiled its most affordable laptop yet, the XPS 13, as the PC maker aims to capture market share from Apple's MacBook Neo by attracting students and young professionals. Starting at $699 and a reduced $599 for students aged 16 and older during the back-to-school season, Dell said the XPS 13 seeks to offer a superior experience compared to the MacBook Neo. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least, is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Cadillac Willie, and their influences include classic rock and jam bands like Widespread Panic, Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Allman Brothers, and the Grateful Dead. Cadillac Willie also enjoys playing funky tunes by folks like James Brown, Stevie Wonder, and the Funky Meters. It's Cadillac Willie, this week at Bands on the Beach.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m. Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
County commissioners voting unanimously to extend County Administrator Wes Marino's contract. Commissioner Mike Kohler, who had publicly pressed Marino over the library issue at a previous meeting, voted yes and framed his support around something specific he wants to see happen.
I want a normal transition plan that we have not had in this county.
Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin. Listen weekday afternoons 4 to 7. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you, sweet Caroline. Good times never seem so good.
So good, so good, so good. 740 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Bop, bop, bop. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Continuing my conversation that Amy Coney Barrett, she was doing at the George W. Bush Center in Texas a little while back. And we're about to get into, not this one, but the next couple are going to be, I mean, really, really interesting. And I'll tell you why when we get there. But first, she was talking about the Constitution, its genius, its difficulty of interpretation.
You talk a lot about how interpreting the Constitution is not easy. And of course, it's not easy. How do you apply the historical context of the Constitution to the modern world in a way that the framers, you know, might not have been able to imagine?
Well, there are lots of things. You know, I used to tell my students, you know, when you're thinking about the First Amendment and free speech, do you think James Madison, who drafted the First Amendment, could have imagined the iPad, you know, or, you know, the internet, social media? The genius of the Constitution is that, by and large, it speaks in broad strokes. So the commitment to free speech, the guarantee of free speech in the First Amendment, protects a principle, you know, and it may not have, at the time of its ratification in 1791, people may not have anticipated it applying to television, radio, the internet. But that principle of free communication of ideas is one that's not restrained just to pamphlets and newspapers and books. Any medium through which ideas can be communicated falls within that language of that guarantee. And so I don't think any of us, you know, I consider myself an originalist, which means that I interpret the Constitution as it was originally understood, but that does not mean that I ask how would the framers expect it to apply in this situation, because that's just a counterfactual that you just can't think your way into James Madison's mind to ask him, you know, what he thinks of Netflix.
Right. Which would be awesome if you could.
It would be awesome if you could.
Yeah, that'd be the first question I asked it. What do you think of Netflix?
And that's, and also, of course, there's a sense that we have inherited this framework from them, and we should not continually be governing entirely according to what, you know, Samuel Adams thought, or John Adams, or Thomas Jefferson, or Benjamin Franklin, or, you know, Winthrop, or any of these guys. So there's that as well. But yeah, it's an impossible, as she says, it's a counterfactual. It's a, you know, hypothetical situation that you cannot figure out. Okay. This next series of clips, and it's going to take a few minutes to let her have her say on this. On the one hand, it's very, very uncontroversial, but it has struck me, maybe for the first time, as something we really should talk about more. It's the question of your personal views versus what you rule on as a judge.
You know, you've written a lot about how your personal convictions don't dictate your judicial decisions. And there's so much media chatter about the way Supreme Court justices' personal convictions may or may not affect those decisions. Can you talk about a case or two that's come to the court where your personal beliefs differed from the law that you're bound to interpret? How do you separate and how do you approach those cases?
That is one of the questions that I get asked most frequently. I actually, in the last week, spoke to three different school groups at the court, and it came up in each context. I think that it's very, very important to keep personal beliefs and personal convictions separate from the law. Some people say, why? I mean, if they're your beliefs and if that's what you think about is true, Why would you not let that inform your decision? Say, you know, your beliefs about what's moral or immoral, for example. That is because we live in a pluralistic society, and what I think is moral or immoral is not maybe what you, Shiloh, think is moral or immoral. And we're committed to living by the laws that emerge from the democratic process, and so it's not my role as a judge to override that with my own view. So I try to separate that out.
And by the way, that's exactly the right answer. That's a very standard answer. It is entirely accurate. But again, I want to give her her full say here, and then I'll explain why I'm thinking about this more today.
Do mind tricks with myself to help that effort, because obviously I am human. We all are. My colleagues are, too. Let's say that you have, I'll use free speech again. Let's say that you have some expression, some statement, some speech that has been, there's been an attempt to censor it, and it's a message that I personally find repulsive. In deciding whether I think it is deserves First Amendment protection, I substitute in something else, something that I like, because the principle has to be the same no matter what the speech is. You know, same for different regulations that might be challenged. Maybe they are regulations, maybe it's an environmental regulation or something like that that I think is a bad idea. I try to switch it up in my mind and say, would this decision be the same if it was a regulation that I actually favored, you know, and vice versa. So I try to do those things to keep myself honest, because it is easy, I think, to let your judgment be crowded, or not, maybe not easy, but I think it would be very tempting to let your judgment be clouded by your own political or personal preferences.
Definitely. Very human. In fact, sometimes the accusation from certain people, I think you hear this accusation more from the left, but you also hear it from the right, too. Sometimes they think that judges are always legislating from the bench. I mean, sometimes, but generally not. The Supreme Court doesn't really work that way for the most part. But yeah, it's a very... What you're basically saying is, I know what I would do if I had the power. I would use it the way I want, so I can't believe that anybody else wouldn't use it that way. It's somewhat behind the idea of who nominated them is the controlling factor of how they're going to vote, somewhat behind the criticism that they're just in there doing their own personal agenda, that we can't trust anybody to do the job, to be a good umpire, to put on the black robe of neutrality and really rule based on what the law says. I mean, after all, they come to different conclusions. So how can it not be that they're just doing what they personally want to do? Well, just because you would use the power that way doesn't mean that they are using it that way. And I take her very much at her word, as well as many others. Like, you know, Clarence Thomas said, there was a case with the Haitian immigrants where he hated the outcome of that case, but he still ruled for it because he thought that's what the law required. Like I said, I'm going to come back to this in a second because you'll see where I'm going with this. This will challenge you. So if you like to be challenged on a Monday morning, John, don't give me that look. Don't stink eye John me. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. We've got a traffic light out at New Warrington Road in Chiefs Way. Also an accident that just happened at Blue Angel.
Okay, that's a big light. Go on.
I know. Blue Angel Parkway and Sorrento Road, no delays associated with that one. And also I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, experiencing about a 7-minute delay. And also, if you're on 98 going eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, and you're wondering why traffic is slow, it's moving very slowly due to an earlier accident, still experiencing a 20-25-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Come on, stink guy, John.
Yeah, we need a little bit of that. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, both perhaps, it's common. Did you snort? Nice.
Yeah, I did.
Nice. All right. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty can help with that. And, you know, one of the things is it's all the little things add up to a big, big difference. And it's things like knowing that the way you've got the home painted inside is the reason that you're not getting the offers. Even though the paint is okay, it just is the hindrance. You know, she was on Pep Talk last week, maybe, I think, and she was talking about how, you know, a nice home, nice price, nice neighborhood, everything just was like this yellow paint color inside. And it wasn't a problem. It was just a little bit dated, you know, like a coastal color. You think, how can that be an issue? Well, they found out from somebody that that's what they didn't like, and so they painted it, and they had offers within a week. Like it's all the little things you learn from selling 209 homes in a year and 165 homes and 175 homes and over 200. Like, that collectively produces a level of knowledge that cannot be gotten at any other way. And that's why you get results, because you know all the little things that other people are still kind of, you know, learning how to figure out. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. All right, back to Amy Coney Barrett, Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, speaking at the George W. Bush Center recently, talking about the distinction between her personal views and what the law requires. And she's going to give an illustration, then we'll talk about it.
You take us into the example in your book. You talk a little bit about the fact, I mean, it's no secret that you're Catholic. Everything when you do your job, everything they can find out about you, they find out. But in your book, you talk about a death penalty case. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, you know, the way you think about that case is pretty interesting. I wonder if you might reflect on that case for a moment and just talk to people.
Sure.
About how you...
So I don't normally really say publicly what my beliefs are one way or the other, just because I think I should keep that separate. But my views on the death penalty were on record from this article that I had written long before when I was actually a law student. And I am Catholic, and in this article I expressed that I thought the death penalty was immoral. And the question, and it's actually one that it was an article that I wrote with a professor, it was explored in the article, is what is the obligation of a Catholic judge who thinks that the death penalty is unjust if sitting in a death penalty case? And we concluded in that article, and I think it's true now, that it's not immoral to participate. I mean, I'm not the person who's sentencing someone to death. I think the death penalty is immoral, but as I said, we live in a pluralistic society, and many of my fellow citizens don't agree with me, and there are many states and indeed the federal government that continue to have capital punishment.
We're going to come back to this because there's a little bit more she wants to say, but would you have guessed that she was against the death penalty? I mean, she is Catholic. She taught at Notre Dame. Catholic Church is generally opposed to the death penalty, and they have gotten even more opposed in recent years. Historically, it was only because, like, it was allowed in some certain political circumstances, like how well developed the society was and how many other alternatives you had to that. But, you know, generally speaking, the Catholic Church is against capital punishment. Well, she's a Catholic and she agrees it's, you know, immoral. But yet, you know, she's willing to rule in favor of the death penalty because that's not her job to decide that question. That's a legislative question.
My job as an appellate judge is to review the record and look at the law and say simply, did this process of imposing this sentence, did it violate the Constitution? Did it violate the law? And the Constitution doesn't prohibit the death penalty. So the case that I talked about in the book was the Boston Marathon bomber had been sentenced to death, and there was a case up. It was in my first or second term. A case that came up that involved a challenge to his death sentence, and I voted with the government. I voted not to. I did not think that Tsarnaev had the better of the argument. That is the kind of situation in which, I mean, that was not a unanimous case. Some of my colleagues in dissent would have decided the case his way. And what I say in the book is, it's possible, I think, to say that you should shade the law. And say, like, well, you know, there are some decent arguments. It wasn't a slam dunk case. It made it to the Supreme Court. You could say, well, there's some decent arguments going his way. So since I think that the death penalty, you know, ought not be used, then maybe I should just try to shade it and go with the arguments that I think are less good arguments but lead to a better result. I personally think that would be, and I'm pretty firm about this, that it would be a dereliction of my duty. Because, again, I'm supposed to faithfully interpret the law as I can best judge that law to be. And in that case, I thought that that law permitted the death penalty to be imposed on Tsarnaev.
So it's exactly what a justice is supposed to do. She's doing exactly what her job is obligated to do, which is to follow the law and make a ruling based on what the law requires and not her own personal beliefs in any way, not even to shade it when there's wiggle room, not even to shade it in that direction just because they're the law maybe is not as clear. There's enough, right? But to really, truly, diligently figure out what the law requires. Now, here's why I wanted to talk about this. For any law, I have always taken it for granted. I have always, you know, thought about this and thought how important it is for justices to not inject their personal opinions, whatever their personal opinions are, into the process of saying what the law requires, what the Constitution actually says, originalism, legislative intent, all that thing. That's all stuff they're supposed to do. And not rule in any way based on their personal opinions. But what if, okay, What if you're talking about genuine evil law? What, I mean, we don't have this particular problem, maybe, okay? But what if you were a Supreme Court justice tasked with the historical question of whether to enforce a law that allowed for slavery? We don't have slavery now. It's very easy to say that wouldn't happen. But what if, you know, it came back, you know? And you're a Supreme Court justice, and your job is to return a fugitive slave to its owners. Would you be willing to return the fugitive slave, you know? Or would you find any way possible to keep that slave from being returned because slavery is evil? You know, what if we had a law that allowed, I don't know, child sacrifice? You know, anytime up to the age of two, if you get tired of them, you know? What if that were a law? See, when you look at, you know, what if you were what if we had some kind of mass racial purge, you know, like Germany, you know? What if something came into law that allowed the relocation of all the gypsies or the Jews or the blacks or the whites or the, you know, left-handed people or, you know, sorry, John. you know, and now at this level of the Supreme Court, this law has been brought before you, and the law, the duly fashioned byproduct of votes and elections and everything else, you know, we have a constitutional amendment. The 28th Amendment says it's perfectly okay to kill the blanks. Okay, we actually have a vote. It gets ratified by the states, and it's actually it's in the Constitution. And somebody sets out to kill the blanks. And at the level of the Supreme Court, you know, you're asked to rule on that law. And you're like, well, I mean, the 28th Amendment is clear. See, you know, the leaders in the concentration camps could not appeal to following orders. Some of the soldiers could, but some of the others could not, right? You were obligated to not comply. What if the law that you're tasked with applying is genuinely evil? What is your obligation as a justice? I don't think, you know, I mean, this, I'm asking this question. I think it's a deep question you ought to think about because it sounds great and right in a way to say that the justices should apply the law, but what do you want them to do if they come up against some genuine evil in the world that's legal? It's, I don't think it's so obvious. And I think it's fascinating. You know, Amy Coney Barrett thinks that the death penalty is immoral, and yet she rules in favor of it because that is literally her job. Could you take such a job? Would you be willing to take such a job? Is the, well, I was just obeying the law, as in I was applying the law, is a lot like I was just obeying orders and even illegal orders in the military. You're expected to disobey them. Of course, those are illegal as opposed to being immoral. It's a slightly different question. Anyway, just, I had not thought about some of those extreme cases before. And of course, some people will say, well, abortion is like that. I understand. Or contraceptive rights are like that. I understand. Or climate change is like, well, yeah. I mean, that's the challenge. You know, what do you do with laws that you personally are absolutely convinced are genuinely evil, and yet your job as a jurist is to uphold them somehow or other? That do traffic yet, John? I need to take, okay, traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. We're still dealing with the light that's out at Sorrento and Chiefs Way. New Warrington Road and Chiefs Way. Excuse me, this computer, I love it. And let's see here, we're on West 9 Mile Road and Beulah Road. We still have the accident there. And Highway 29 and West Roberts Road is seeing a delay due to a disabled vehicle. And also 98 eastbound, approaching the Windhaven Beach area. Traffic is starting to flow a little again, but that was due to that earlier accident. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
We asked people we spoke with, what does it take to keep getting better with age?
Keep growing.
Remember where you came from. It's the foundation of who you are.
Show up for others. Learn something new.
Stay connected.
That's been our approach at Pennair for 90 years. Staying connected. Continuing to grow. And never losing sight of who we serve. Penn Air Credit Union, 90 years strong.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
So what did you do before you signed on with Daddy?
I was an advertising librarian for a medical supply company.
Oh. I have no response to that.
That might be my all-time favorite claim. I have no response to that. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David? Or well, a headline.
My computer also came from the dumpster.
The dumpster outside
back.
The Teen Challenge? Okay.
I'm a little frozen up and can't get to him at the moment.
Perfect. All right. We'll be talking with Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson coming up here in just a second. Reports about a search for a missing person that was maybe injured over the weekend yesterday near NES Whiting Field.
Listen on air at night.